Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation. Even while engaged in various activities, devotees whose minds are constantly absorbed at your lotus feet and who constantly hear, chant, contemplate, and cause others to remember your transcendental names and forms are always on the transcendental platform, and thus they can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. How bhakti yoga can be practiced is explained in this verse. Srila Rupa Goswami has said that anyone who has dedicated his life to the service of the Lord, iha yasya harir dasye, by his activities, his mind, and his words, garmana manasagira, may stay in any condition of life, nikilashvapyavasthasu, and yet is no longer actually conditioned, but is liberated. Jivan mukta sa uchyate. Even though such a devotee is in a material body, he has nothing to do with this body, for he is transcendentally situated. Narayana para sarve na kutaschana bibhyati. Because a devotee is engaged in transcendental activities, he is not afraid of being materially embodied. Bhagavatam 6.17.28. Illustrating this liberated position, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prayed, Mama Janmani Janmanishvare Bhavatad Bhaktir Ahaituki Tvayi. All I want is your causeless devotional service in my life, birth after birth. Shikshashtaka 4. Even if a devotee, by the supreme will of the Lord, takes birth in this material world, he continues his devotional service. When King Bharat made a mistake and in his next life became a deer, his devotional service did not stop, although some slight chastisement was given to him because of his negligence. Narad Muni says that even if one falls from the platform of devotional service, he is not lost, whereas non-devotees are lost entirely because they are not engaged in service. Bhagavad Gita 9.14 therefore recommends that one always engage at least in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Satatam kirtayanto mam yatantascha dridhavrata namasyantascha mam bhaktya nitya yukta upasate. Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, the great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. One should not give up the process of devotional service, which is performed in 9 different ways, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, etc. The most important process is hearing, Shravanam, from the Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, the spiritual master, the saintly Acharyas, and the Vedic literature. Sadhu, Shastra, Guru, Vakya, Chitete, Kariyakya. We should not hear the commentaries and explanations of non-devotees, for this is strictly forbidden by Srila Sanatan Goswami, who quotes from the Padma Puran, Aveshnava mukhodgiranam putam hari kathamritam shravanam neva kartavyam sarpochishtam yathapaya. We should strictly follow this injunction and never try to hear from Mayavadis, impersonalists, voidists, politicians, or so-called scholars. Strictly avoiding such inauspicious association, we should simply hear from pure devotees. Srila Rupa Goswami therefore recommends Sri Guru Padashraya. One must seek shelter at the lotus feet of a pure devotee who can be one's guru. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advises that a guru is one who strictly follows the instructions of Bhagavad Gita, Yare Dekha Tare Kaha Krishna Upadesh, C.C. Madhya 7.128. A juggler, a magician, or one who speaks nonsense as an academic career is not a guru. Rather, a guru is one who presents Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's instructions, as it is. Shravana is very important. One must hear from the Vaishnava sadhu, guru, and shastra. The word kriyasu, meaning by manual labor or by work, is important in this verse. One should engage in practical service to the Lord. In our Krishna consciousness movement, all our activities are concentrated upon distributing Krishna literature. This is very important. One may approach any person and induce him to read Krishna literature so that in the future he also may become a devotee. Such activities are recommended in this verse. Kriyasu yastvach charanaravindayo. Such activities will always remind the devotees of the Lord's lotus feet. By fully concentrating on distributing books for Krishna, one is fully absorbed in Krishna. This is samadhi. Om jnanti mirandhasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Shri Chaitanya mano bhishtam sthapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamahyam dadati svapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parjana Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Taru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, and a warm welcome to all the devotees to this morning's marathon lead-up class. The Prabhupada Marathon starts tomorrow, and I'm feeling extremely privileged and grateful and very humbled to be sitting here in front of so many illustrious Vaishnavas. Many Sankirtan devotees are here. Some devotees may also be listening online. So I humbly seek all of your blessings so that I can share something that will ultimately be pleasing to Srila Prabhupada and in line with his teachings and his desire for this mission, and hopefully something that will inspire all of us as a community to take this opportunity of distributing books during the Prabhupada Marathon, seriously. So the marathon starts tomorrow. It's a very exciting time of year. And it concludes on Christmas Eve, on the 24th of December. Marathon comes round quick and it goes quick. Only a few weekends and before we know it, it's over. So if you're thinking about going out, do it before it's too late. And if you're going out already, go out more, because when Christmas comes, you'll be wishing that you're back out on the streets again. So this verse is very nice. Prabhupada is saying that in our Krishna consciousness movement, all our activities are concentrated upon distributing Krishna literature. This is very important. Sometimes we may read a verse like this and get quite surprised. Like, we do so many things in this movement. Countless activities are there. The fact that Prabhupada is saying that everything is concentrated upon distributing Krishna literature, that can get lost, I think, sometimes. So what do we have to do when we're feeling like things are getting a bit lost or the emphasis may not be in the right place? We have to go back to the foundation, the roots. Let's start from the beginning, go back to the basics. So let's go back to 1966. We're in New York, and Srila Prabhupada has incorporated his very mystical society, ISKCON. The people that were signing the document, they didn't even know what they were signing. I thought, okay, let me help out this Swami. He seems like a nice guy. He's elderly. We will assist him. Little did they know that, as Lord Chaitanya predicted, Sarvata prachara hoi bimoranam, everywhere. Prithivite yache ata nagaradigram Sarvatra prachara hoibe moranam. In every town and village across the world, my name will be spread. So let's go back to that time in 1966. Prabhupada had seven purposes of ISKCON. And the seventh purpose that Prabhupada wrote in this document, this purpose that he immortalized for all the time that is to come, Prabhupada writes, with a view towards achieving the aforementioned purposes, to publish and distribute periodicals, magazines, books, and other writings. So to achieve the other six purposes, we have to look at the seventh purpose, which Prabhupada says is, with a view towards achieving aforementioned purposes, to publish and distribute periodicals, magazines, books, and other writings. Srila Prabhupada's movement is extraordinary. It's by no means something that's mundane. It's Golokera Premadhana Harinama Sankirtana. Prabhupada was sent, Senapati Bhakta of Lord Chaitanya, and he was sent to establish the spiritual world on earth. In the ninth canto, when we're speaking about the pastimes of Lord Ram, Prabhupada describes Ayodhya as being a place where there was not even death for one who didn't want it. Lord Ram's rule was so glorious. Everyone was so Krishna conscious. And in the purport, Prabhupada writes that Kali Kale Nama Rupe Krishna Avatar, that in this day and age of Kali, Krishna has ascended in the form of his holy name. And if we, as followers of Prabhupada, we distribute this holy name, then we can re-establish Ram Raja in this Kali Yuga. An incredible benediction. It seems otherworldly. It is, but it's true. We have to take that seriously. And so Golokera Premadhana, this movement, is absolutely imported from the spiritual world. But we have to make it happen also. Prabhupada left a task for us to do. Tama Krishna Maharaj asked Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he could have done all of this himself. An incredible personality. He had the potency. Prabhupada responded, well, if he did it all, then what would we have left to do? So we've got a task to do. And that's how Lord Chaitanya wants it. He's given us the vision. We simply have to follow and watch the miracles happen and watch Lord Chaitanya's pastimes come to life and see how in actuality, yes, in every town and village, this Krishna consciousness will be spread. So we have to do it. We have to march. We're an army. And what does that mean? The army is fighting. We're at war with the material energy. So on the front lines, we have our soldiers. And every single other department of the army is there to support the frontline soldiers. Those who are preaching, those who are on the battlefield, meeting with the material energy face to face, they are required to be supported by everyone else in the army. And every now and again, everyone in the army should go on the front lines and see what the front foot soldiers are up to. They should go there to appreciate this is the battle that we are collectively facing. It's not just for the frontline soldiers to face. Yes, they face it head on, but they're supported by cavalry, by strategists, by those sitting providing sustenance. The deities, the prasad, the morning program, the class. Prabhupada created this temple, as he says, not as a place for eating and sleeping where we get comfortable. Rather, the morning program is there so that we can collect blessings, be convinced about our mission, and go out there and make that mission happen. And that mission will also nourish us. That mission will also nourish us. That mission is also samadhi. It's not that just the morning program is samadhi. It's also that the mission is samadhi. Samadhi means to become fully absorbed. And you can get fully absorbed in any Krishna conscious activity. In the deity kitchen, I've had that experience. You know, it's very nice. Just placing the mangal sweet onto the Lord's tray and the plane. Oh, just that. It's beautiful. Singing kirtan, it's beautiful. It's samadhi. Even if we're not doing a directly Krishna conscious activity, which this verse speaks about, perhaps we're driving devotees from one place to another so that they can deliver their Krishna conscious message. That is also samadhi. Perhaps we're shopping. I know one of our devotees, he recently bought some long johns because he's going to be out on the streets distributing the mercy. He was shopping. He went into a so-called materialistic shopping center. But that shopping center received so much mercy because they're now contributing to the Sankirtan mission of Lord Chaitanya. His shopping was by no means a material activity. So the devotees need not be afraid. This is also samadhi. However, the samadhi on book distribution, as many of you have experienced, is something very special. Something very special. When the gopis left their homes to meet Krishna in the middle of the night, the devotees were very enthusiastic. They thought not about their duties in the home. They left everything, foregoing all so-called Vedic principles and injunctions and duties given to them. They simply heard Krishna's flute and ran. For Krishna's pleasure, I will do anything. And then Krishna enjoyed these very special pastimes with these extraordinary devotees, the gopis. And then he disappeared. And then he came back. And he told them, I disappeared just to increase your love for me. He said, there was not any moment where I wasn't thinking about you. And then to conclude that chapter, the reunion in the 10th canto, Krishna shares something very special. He says, I am indebted to you. Because of the love that you've shown me, because of your eagerness to meet with me, forgoing all the things that you're leaving behind, what will the villagers say? There's no thought of that. For Krishna, anything. Because of this service attitude, because of the love that you're offering me, I cannot repay you. Even if I give you myself, I cannot repay you. So, please consider this service as your compensation. Let the service itself be my repayment. That's quite special. And I think something similar happens on Sankirtan, where Krishna feels so much for the suffering of the fallen conditioned souls in this world, that when someone tries to help him to relieve that suffering, he feels so indebted. His heart is so unbelievably touched that he cannot repay us. So the service itself, he feels with so much ecstasy, so much overwhelming nourishment, that these Sankirtan devotees just want to stay out there. They just want to continue with this service, despite all of the difficulties that it brings on the external platform. Yes, it may be freezing cold. Yes, it may be pouring with rain. We may experience rejection after rejection after rejection, sometimes for hours on end. Zero books will go out. But there's some special rasa that Krishna deposits in this service that cannot be found anywhere else, that makes the devotee so enthusiastic to continue. And that rasa is evidence of the fact that Krishna really, really, really wants this to happen. The other day I was reading the Gita. Maybe someone can help me with the Sanskrit. It's chapter 15, text 7. I think it's a Bhakti Shastri verse. You got it? That's the one. Jai. That's it. Thank you, Prabhu. And there's Krishna speaking about how the living entities are struggling with the body, struggling with the mind, struggling with the senses. And at that point, when I was reading that, it hit me. Krishna is speaking about how his dear most long-lost sons and daughters are struggling. I think he repeats this sort of point throughout the scriptures. I mean, of course he does. But for him to confess that, imagine a father confessing that his sons and daughters are struggling. That kind of suggests in a way that the father has not done his job properly to provide for his sons and daughters. Of course, Krishna is completely transcendental. So he's given us everything. But there's also that part of him that thinks, have I done enough? Where have my long-lost sons and daughters gone? They've lost this connection with me and now they're struggling. As a father, that's got to hurt you. That's got to hurt. So that was quite striking. And I went on to Vanipedia, an incredible resource. And there's a page that they've dedicated to this title. Krishna does not like to see us suffer. And maybe I can read a little bit from Prabhupada's words on this. In a lecture in Los Angeles, 17th of August, 1972, Prabhupada says, Krishna is very anxious. We are suffering here, rotting here. We are sons of Krishna. Krishna does not like to see that we shall rot here. He wants, come back home, dance with me, eat with me. But these rascals will not go. They will stick here. No, sir, it is very good here. I shall become hog and eat stool. That is very pleasant. On another occasion, Bombay, 11th of November, 1972. So why he's begging from you? Because he wants that you love him. That is Krishna's want. You are suffering in this material world. You are entangled in this tree from one branch to another, rotating and suffering. So Krishna wants that you do not suffer. Bombay, December 25th, one day after the Prabhupada Marathon, 1976. Because you have preferred to come into this material world and want to become happy, you do not know what is the way of happiness. You must suffer. Krishna does not like, because you are his son, but it is a punishment under the control of the material nature. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai. Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. Shri Shri Gornitai ki jai. I can continue, but you get the gist. Krishna is so aggrieved to see us suffering here. In the Antya Lila of the CC, Haridas Thakur, representing the foremost of the devotees who understands the heart, mood and mission of the Lord, is consoling Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya is saying, I am in anxiety. What will become of the fallen conditioned souls in this material world? And Haridas Thakur is consoling him. Haridas kahe Prabhu chinta na kariya yavaner samsar dekhi dukha na bhaviha. Haridas Thakur is consoling Lord Chaitanya. My dear Lord, do not be in anxiety. Do not be unhappy to see the suffering of the people of this age. And in the purport, Prabhupada speaks about how it's the duty of all of the followers of Lord Chaitanya to do his bit to relieve him of that anxiety. It's not that everybody all the time will be able to be on the front lines, but everybody some of the time should visit and make a contribution. Everyone has something to offer because this is our family business. When Sudama Vipra was going to see Krishna in Dwarka, Even though he was so poor, just before he went, he asked his wife, "Is there something in the home that we can take?" His wife has sent him, thinking, "I have nothing to offer my husband. I can't cook for him. Look at his condition. Let him go and beg some charity from his merciful friend, his merciful childhood friend, Krishna. He should go to Dvarka." And he asked his wife, "What are we going to take? What shall I take for him?" So his wife goes to their neighbor's place and begs a little bit of chipped rice. But that was significant. Even though Sudama had nothing, he's a poor gentleman going to seek some charity, he still took something with him. So we can do the same. We can offer at least a little something to Krishna. There is no disqualification. Our greatest qualification on the streets is that we consider ourselves disqualified. We may think, "I am not witty, I can't speak, I have not read these books, I don't know the philosophy, I'm new to Krishna consciousness, or my sadhana isn't strong." We can consider ourselves so unqualified. But we all have something to offer because we've all heard this message, and we can follow in the footsteps of Sudama Vipra and take whatever little something we have. And if it's not in the home, go and beg it from someone else like Sudama Vipra's wife. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to beg all of you in a moment to bless me so that when I go out on the streets, I'll have something to take. So we can all do like this. We can all beg. And that's what it means to be a Sankirtan devotee. We become beggars. So, we've understood the message. We cannot be happy without Krishna consciousness. Balad Maharaj, he prays like this. And he understands that these people, they cannot be happy without Krishna consciousness. And we understand also that Krishna is so much in anxiety to see us become Krishna conscious, because we're suffering, rotting in this material world in forgetfulness of him. So when we go out there, and we do his bidding, oh, he becomes indebted. And the experience we have on the streets is beyond compare. There's nothing like it. And I'd just like to invite everybody to go out there and experience the magic of Sankirtan. Lord Chaitanya's pastimes are eternal, and they're manifesting right now on the streets of London and Cambridge and Liverpool and wherever else we're going to visit. The six Goswamis of Vrindavan, they are, of course, Sankirtan devotees, deputed by Lord Chaitanya to open up Vrindavan, open up the scripture, make it more accessible to other people. I think if the six Goswamis were made to appear in London, in the 21st century, perhaps Srinivas Acharya's Ashtakam would have been a little different. The current eighth verse is a bit like this. The Goswamis are wondering, "Queen of Radharani, Lalita, Vishakha, where are you? Are you on the banks of the Yamuna? Are you near Govardhan Hill? Are you at Vamshivat?" I think if Srinivas Acharya wrote that in this age, when the Goswamis appeared in London, of course there are many, many more than six Goswamis in our movement in London. We have some in this assembly this morning. But if these six Goswamis appeared in London at this time, I think they would be saying, "Krishna, where are you? Are you outside TGI Fridays? Have you gone into Tottenham Court Road Station? Or are you closer? Oh, calling on the mobile phone. Sorry, no. It's my ears. They're not the best. Thank you. Yes, exactly. They'll be so available. And they'd be looking for Krishna on the streets, the same places that we go on Sankirtan. Because that is where Krishna is hanging out. Krishna is where his devotees are chanting his glories. And in this day and age, Krishna is absolutely to be found on the streets where the devotees are distributing his books. He's waiting, waiting for us to go there, waiting for us to experience these wonderful pastimes. And when we go there, we're waiting for him to appear to us too, to help us, help him become free from the transcendental anxiety he feels for everyone in this age of Kali. So, Prabhupada has given us the formula, given us the plan of Lord Chaitanya. We just have to follow and watch miracles manifest. It's the greatest time to be alive. What a benediction. So, let's get stuck in. KrishnaTemple.com/books. All the information you need to take part in the Prabhupada Marathon is there. And like I said before, it'll be over before we know it. So let's go out there and experience the magic and have the time of our lives. And that will nourish our Krishna consciousness like nothing else. Being there with Krishna on his team, helping him become free from the anxiety he feels for the residents of this age. We've got some time for questions and comments and corrections. We have lovely Sankirtan devotees in this room. We have a mic. Maybe devotees can offer their comments. Taruna Prabhu.
Gauranga?
No. You might have to shout, Prabhu. My hearing's Gauranga.
Gauranga. Probably doesn't work anyway.
It doesn't work.
Anyway, you've been talking about mercy. You want to beg for mercy. How is it manifest?
Hare Krishna.
It's not like you mean devotees are like
Are you saying how does this mercy manifest?
Is that substance? Substance kind of, what is that? Or this is something which moves Krishna to move your obstacles? Or what is that mercy? How it looks? What is that?
Just want to clarify the question. Where is the mercy from Krishna to help us remove the obstacles?
No, how it looks. What is that substance mercy? What is that?
What is that mercy?
What is that? It's something which Krishna removes from you because devotees say yes, remove, or I don't understand. I never understood what mercy means, actually. I never understood what mercy means. When devotees beg for mercy from somebody, what is that substance? What is that mercy? Mm.
That is a big question for a small devotee, but I'll try and share something and maybe the other devotees can chip in. What is mercy? I guess it's inconceivable. There's no rules when it comes to mercy.
So does it have any role? Does it actually happen? You will get what you're going to get. If you see as a mercy, it's good for you. That's all.
If we share the mercy?
I don't know. Maybe this never takes place, so-called mercy. You get what you get, and then if you see as a mercy, it's a
mercy. Does mercy even exist?
Yeah.
Is that what you're asking?
If you see as a mercy, it's a mercy. If it's not, you get what you get for your purification. Anyway, sorry.
Mm. Mercy comes from the devotee. I think bhakti comes from the bhakta. And somehow or other, out of his causeless mercy, Lord
Chaitanya.
What
is that?
What is that? I think maybe from my perspective, mercy is the unlimited kindness of the Lord, and it can manifest in a number of different ways. It can manifest in the form of prasad, that prasad which once consumed attracts us to Krishna. It can manifest in the form of the devotee, can manifest in the form of the books, things physical or non-tangible that have been sent by Krishna, invested with Krishna's potency to pull us towards him. And so in the context of Sankirtan, perhaps, we've all been invested with some mercy. We're all carriers of mercy. We're all carriers of some form of Krishna consciousness that has been given to us by another source. And as caretakers of that mercy, we simply go out and try and induce the other people to take Krishna consciousness, to take that mercy of Krishna consciousness and accept it as their own. How is that? Vishwamba Prabhu also has a... The mic? Oh, it's not working. Oh, fine. Are you saying how can we give what we haven't got?
It's all right. I think what he's saying is that these people who don't deserve, but we're giving them mercy. Am I correct in that? How is that?
Oh, the people who don't deserve mercy, are we giving it to them? How can we give it to them?
No, it's the definition of mercy. You give something which they don't deserve, and you get something which you don't deserve. So that's a mercy. You hear me?
Yeah, I feel like you... That's amazing what you said. Vishwamba Prabhu also has something on that, so maybe he can respond better.
I think we have to qualify the meaning, the word of mercy, what it means. In Latin, misericordia is broken in two words. Originally, it's from Latin word. Misericordia means something descending from the Lord that I will take you out of misery, and I will remember you. Ricordia means remember. Now, when people in France, they were condemned to guillotine, or in America, you know, capital punishment to death, you know, and then the judge and the people say, mercy, have a mercy on him. That means, you know, you show, you want to take them out of misery. You take them out of misery by remembering them compassionately. And originally, this mercy, the catalyst person who gives out this mercy, it's God. Now, in our instance, you know, Prabhupada gets the mercy from Krishna, he gives out to the devotees, he puts us out of misery. And by remembering us, by asking Krishna to remember you. So we do the same thing with the people. The mercy means we want to take them out of misery. And by praying that Krishna, God will remember them. That's the meaning of mercy. That even whether you deserve it or not, everybody's suffering in this world. And I think, you know, you're correct, you know, in your explanation. But we have to understand the meaning of this word. I think that's what he meant. You want to qualify. Mercy means, you know, that when you were asking all the devotees to be merciful to you, it means, you know, taking away your misery and invoking Krishna to remember you. That's the meaning. And you pass it on to the conditioned souls.
Because they say, oh, I'm very happy, but actually they're suffering. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's from the Latin word, misericordia. It's broken in two words, because I studied the Latin, so that's... Sometimes, you know, there are words that we don't understand what it means. And it's a qualified, it's a special word because, especially if it's a causeless mercy, without any cause. People, you know, they don't deserve it, but we give it to them anyway. Lord Chaitanya, you know, he doesn't differentiate between the fertile land, the rock. When the rain comes, you know, goes everywhere. So we try to not discriminate. We are equal to the ruffians, to the favorable people, to the, you know, we try to give them mercy, even though they don't deserve it. Does it make sense? And that's how you become a saint, by taking away their misery. Compassionate, you are compassionate. Mm. You save people from the guillotine of Kali. Otherwise, you know, they get chewed up into their sinful activities or reaction. It's like everybody is in a washing machine in this world, you know, that everybody's is being cleaned up by Maya. We won't take them out of the washing machine. Does it make sense?
Yeah.
So are you satisfied with that?
Thank you, Prabhu. Any further comments?
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Very nice lecture, and more on this marathon. In this context of translation, the word samadhi is mentioned. And I think you gave good examples of samadhi on practical. But when you're out on a road distributing the books, you know, you get different kind of people, you know, we approach. Have you put that context with samadhi? What sort of example you give? Because, I mean, some of the people you come across, they don't want the book. Your conscious is that, yeah, you talk, you do whatever way to convince them. So I just wanted to understand this samadhi relation to kind of book distribution practically on out
sure.
there. Thank you.
My thinking is that when we're on the streets, Krishna does not leave you alone. He's right there with you. You're on his team. And Krishna is sending everybody. Whether they're going to accept the book or not is a different story, but they're all sent by Krishna. So we can think at every moment that what we're receiving in these people, whether they reject or accept, what we're receiving are gifts from Krishna. Krishna has sanctioned for them to come, and Krishna has sanctioned for you to receive them. And we can think that everything is, this word again, Krishna's mercy. And we can have this theme tune or this track running through our Sankirtan of the Maha Mantra, constantly chanting, where we're constantly engaged, chanting the Maha Mantra, praying, strongly desiring, please Krishna, allow me to serve you, allow me to serve you. And in this way, we'll be in samadhi. And of course, maybe externally, we may be affected naturally by people's rejections. But we have to learn the art of not taking that so seriously and thinking, what is Krishna trying to teach me in this? Is Krishna trying to, humble me so that I can beg more, pray harder, and get back into this, you know, samadhi? And then in that humble state, when we realize we're not the doer, Krishna can send people that might accept the books. So we can think that everything is sanctioned and sent by Krishna, because he's right there on your team. He's not leaving your side. That's some thoughts from my side, but maybe there are other devotees who might want to add something to that.
Hare Krishna. Samadhi, it's like we were talking about the gopis and Radharani, and I was just thinking and going a little bit backtracking to Mercy. And then I was thinking, who's the emblem of Mercy? And that's Radharani. She's like, she gives those who are undeserving. Krishna doesn't give that attention to those people who are non-envious, to envious people. But Radharani is just give it to anybody. And then if you look down the line, then we have Gauranga Mahaprabhu, who has the mood of Radharani giving. And then even in Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, favored by Radharani. And then Prabhupada, his father was like, oh, bless my son that he may become a devotee of Radharani. So it's just a powerful kind of thing. And then if I look at Samadhi, it's just that constant absorption in hearing and chanting. You know, what is it we're doing when we're meeting people? Telling them about who Krishna is, what his activities in the spiritual world is, who you are, where you come from. So it's like it doesn't matter whether the book goes out or not. They've had the opportunity, they have a glimpse into the spiritual world. They had a glimpse into their actual identity. So when you think about that, it's amazing. It's like the mother. The mother is always anxious to make sure the child is healthy, protected, cared for. Similarly, in our way, we also have that mood coming from Prabhupada, that he's also anxious when he sees every living entity, you know. He's very caring for them. Oftentimes he would be like, oh, where have they gone? Please call them back. He's very anxious that every soul is cared for in Krishna consciousness. So in the same way, whether the book goes out or not, that's not our concern. That's Krishna's concern. But our concern is, let me do my job dutifully. Let me please my guru in this way. Let me connect them one step closer to Krishna. Let me talk to him about Krishna. Yare daka dayaka Krishna upadesh. Whoever you meet, whoever you see, talk about Krishna. That is samadhi. Whatever chance you have, talking, constantly hearing who is saying, chant, contemplate. When you're not distributing books, chant the holy names of the Lord. So in this way, it's always remembering and constantly talking about Krishna. So it's just amazing, actually. Yeah.
Thank you, Devarishi Prabhu. Shall we close here? Thank you all so much for being here. And please give your blessings to all the devotees that are going to be taking part in the marathon. And bless yourselves also, because I'm sure you'll also be taking part. And please bless me that I can do something to please Srila Prabhupada during this marathon. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Srila Prabhupada's Transcendental Book Distribution Ki, Prabhupada Marathon 2025 Ki.